Good morning. It is a blessing to be here today. And I know I had something else in my heart to share. I've been talking with my wife and sharing a few thoughts that I was going to share. And it was going to be about heaven and things that encourage us to move forward in Christ. Because if we don't have a goal in our life just is here and we're existing. And it's important for us to keep our goal and our focus straight. But for some reason, yesterday and last night in the morning, for some reason, something was stirring in my heart, and I want to preach about salvation. And I don't know this is for who specifically is this, but I just want to be obedient and just share that in the simplicity that it is. And sometimes we make the gospel complicated, but it's simple. It is simple to the core. And if we hear it today, we will be blessed. Amen. The title of my message, I want to share today, it's Following Jesus or the Crowds. Following Jesus or the Crowds. And we all know that the Bible talks a lot about being a follower of the crowds and also being a follower of Jesus. And the first point that I want to share is being a follower of the crowd. When we read in the New Testament, we see that Jesus came in flesh and was walking, doing miracles, and was feeding the people. He was walking on this earth and preaching the gospel. And a lot of people began to follow Jesus because they wanted something from him, but they didn't want him specifically. And a lot of times when Jesus would preach the true message, why he came, a lot of people got offended. And there were people also that followed him because they saw crowds following him. So all of a sudden they became part of that crowd. And sometimes maybe you ask them, why are you following? And maybe they didn't even know why, but something was just drawing because they saw crowds. And I'm reminded of my childhood when I was a kid. We immigrated in 2000 to the United States. I was almost 14 years old. So I have a lot of memories being a little kid. And I remember in the village, when there was funeral in the village, in our village, people knew about it. They heard about it, and it was not like here that a car comes, picks it up, and drives it. It was a little different. Back in the day, people used to carry the deceased person to the grave. And they would sing songs, sad songs, and sometimes you would hear from afar off. You don't even see it. You would hear, and you know there is a funeral in the village. And people would just come to the gates because everybody basically has gates and they would come and look who's deceased or what's going on. And all of a sudden, sometimes people knew the person or didn't know, but it was something instinct in them just to begin to follow the crowd. So in the beginning, when they started this journey, it could have been maybe 45 minutes to an hour journey. Maybe they started, let's say, 30 people. By the end, maybe it was 100 people. Because people just decided to just join. And it didn't matter if they know the person or not. They began to follow the crowd because they wanted to be part of that. And sometimes in our own journey with Christ, in our own walk with, in a Christian walk, it can be a similar picture in our life. We see people following Christ. We see others doing things. And instead of us finding out the reason, we just began to follow the crowd. And we began to just kind of come to church and just be a part of something. But we don't even really partake the reason why we're there. And sometimes we can be captivated by that. We can come to church. I talk with people. For some reason, my wife lately tells you, you've been witnessing a lot to people lately. What's going on? You know, one of particular story, I was in the restaurant, I was witnessing to this lady, and we began just to talk. And she said, well, I'm a Christian, I believe in Christ. She grabs from her purse a cross, and she shows me, you know, and it's all great. I'm not questioning her faith because it's between her and Christ. But I do want to say that sometimes we can become followers of the idea than Christ alone. And we think that if we're a part of some church, we go to that church, we're a part of some denomination, all of a sudden we're in good terms with Christ. But the conversion happens when it's a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And this is what happened. In my life, when I was a student here for 2 years, and the third year, before it was a 3-year school, 2 years being here, learning of the Bible, and the third year was internship. And I remember that we were downstairs in a classroom and the leadership came and they were announcing, where are you going to go for internship? And before it was, they would tell you where to go. Now you choose where to go. You know, it's like salvation. You choose to come to Jesus, you know. And now you can choose to do internship, to serve God or not. So a lot of times people do things out of obligation because somebody told them. So when I was downstairs in a class, they came with a list and we were about 50, I believe, people, students in the class. And we're waiting with anticipation. Where am I going to go? And we're anticipating something great. You know, you're going to go and do this and you're going to speak and you're going to be part of worship. And you're anticipating. Because I was a follower of my friends. I wanted to be close with my friends. I always loved people and wanted to be with people. And I had a couple of friends here, specifically Trevor McAllister. You guys know him. I became close with him. And I was like, man, we got to go together somewhere. And all of a sudden, they announce name by name where everybody's going. And everybody's going to all these great churches and doing all these great things. And then lastly, in the end, and Pavel stays here at Summit, he's going to be working here in maintenance. And man, there was a punch in my face. I was like, my goodness. Not only you guys took my friends away from me, but I'm going to be doing something that is not spiritual. Something that I don't even feel called to do. And I began to murmur and complain, and I began to be sad about it. There was a point that I even became bitter. And I was going through a rough time. And there was really a question that I had in my life. Am I a follower of my friends? Am I just part of the club? Or I can sustain my walk with Christ no matter where I am and don't depend from people, but depend from Christ alone. And I remember I had to settle that in my heart. I had to. Because if I wouldn't settle that in my heart, my life would be miserable. And full of murmuring, complaining, and thinking that I'm not where I'm supposed to be. You know, when our flesh is in a way, and our flesh wants its own, a lot of times we'll get disappointed no matter what. No matter how much you feed the flesh, it still wants more. The other day we were talking about millionaires and billionaires. And no matter how rich they are, they still want more. More power, more money, nothing satisfies them. A lot of times you think about it, the poor of the poor, poorest. I took a trip to Mexico. You see poor people that barely have things to survive and they're so happy. They don't have almost nothing. They live like maybe in some countries or in this country, animals live better than some humans in different countries. And they're happy. They're full of joy. They come to the church. They dance. They jump. They praise the Lord. And yet I have everything and I can say from the side, and think that, what's wrong with them? But the flesh always wants more. You will never satisfy the flesh. But when we walk in obedience to the word of God, there is a great reward to that. Yes, we'll go to the valley of shadow of death. But God is with us. Amen? And I remember that going through this time, there is a story that my friends reminded me, encouraging me. It was, one of those friends was Doris Haley. You know, some other friends, they came and were encouraging me because I was going through my funeral. You know, my friends are leaving. What am I going to do now? And when you have phone calls and people are asking, what are you going to do there during internship? And you kind of have to be a little bit softer and say, you know, maintenance and helping with the students and making stuff up to make it seem like it's really, really attractive. But deep inside there was pain and discouragement. Really, God? This is it, what you have for me? But he took a journey. And he took obedience and he took humbleness to be where I'm at today. And it's not the best journey sometimes that we want to take. But it's the journey that God is calling us to do. Amen? One of the stories that I'm reminded from the Bible, it's there was a crowd following Jesus. A big crowd. And the Bible says that in that crowd, there were people that wanted something from Jesus. And in that crowd, there were people that wanted Jesus. And how do I know that is by the results that the Bible is talking about? Let's open up John chapter 6, verse 65 through 68. And it says, and he said, truly, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Verse 67. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the word of eternal life. You have the word of eternal life. This story speaks volume. Before we read the story, Jesus was talking about the cross. He was talking about the journey that he came and the purpose that he came to this earth. To live and die, to give his life for us. And then he was talking about the power of communion. He was talking about whoever comes and partakes from his body, whoever comes and drinks his blood, he will have life. And he was talking about the future. He was talking about the sins that are going to be forgiven. Those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's simple. It's believing and accepting and the results of that transformed life. And a lot of people found that message being offensive. A lot of people said, what? We thought that you came to establish the kingdom. We thought that you're the one that you're going to come and deliver us from the taxes, from the Roman Empire. We put our hope and trust in you, and now you're saying you're going to die. Now you're talking some nonsense that we're going to protect from the cross and you're going to resurrect. And a lot of people found that message offensive and they left. They turned around and they left. And the Bible says, Jesus turned to his 12 disciples and basically asked them a question. Do you want to leave as well? Our walk with Christ, it's simple. And it's a simple question. Do you want to follow me? Or you want to leave and follow the crowds? It's a choice. You can't do both. The crowds that were following him, they left because they got disappointed. And now the 12 disciples, they had a choice. They want to leave and follow the crowds, or they're going to stay and follow Christ. And Peter says, to whom shall we go? We're never going to be satisfied in different words, he's saying. We're going to seek, but never going to find that, what we have now. Because you are the source of life. From you comes out the rivers of living water. We cannot follow the crowds. I don't want to leave. I want to stay with you. And this is our journey today. This is a journey that a lot of Christians can ask themselves. Am I a follower of Christ or a follower of the crowds? Because when we're a follower of Christ, we're going to be challenged in our life. We're going to be challenged a lot in our life. But when we are followers of people, it's going to become about emotions. It's going to become all about us and how to satisfy us. And will still leave us empty. The second point that I want to draw is the danger of becoming disappointed or bitter following the crowds. It's going to be great, great, great disadvantage in that. If we read in John chapter 6, verses 66, we see it. Let's read it one more time. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. And it's something that we are to believe, and it's something that we are to trust, that we did not come by our own strength, our own wisdom, but it's something that God has called us by his grace. It's him who came and died and called us by name. Amen. Third point that I want to share is we have a choice who we want to follow. It is given by a choice. It's not mandatory. It's not given to us as something that you have to do it. But it's a choice. And it's so great to know that Jesus gave us a choice. That it's not... He didn't program us to push a button and all of a sudden we follow him, because it wouldn't be fair. It's a choice. It's a personal choice that we choose to follow him. God does not make us doing things or to follow him, but he lets us on our own to make this choice. And when we do make this choice, he helps us through it. Amen? He helps us through it. So when I was here, finishing, because there is a finish part of my testimony, when I was here at Summit, I don't want to leave that I became bitter, you know, and then you're not going to know the finish work. But I chose to say, you know what, I'm going to follow you. And the question was to me, the other disciples left, your friends left. What are you going to do? Are you going to go and follow them? Or are you going to quit? Because I had the choice even to quit. I got so upset. I could have quit and just went home and done my own thing. And it was a choice. The question that Jesus gave to Peter, do you want to leave as well? And the answer was, to whom shall I go? To whom shall I go? Where am I going to run? Only in your presence I can find the living waters. Only with you I can be satisfied. And in those moments, peace came into my life. Overwhelming peace and love came into my heart. And I began to serve here. And I remember there was long hours I would work. We were painting even the downstairs cafeteria. It was maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. And we were doing it joyfully. It was such a joy and something that, you know what? I'll do this. But I'm not doing this to prove something, or I'm just going to serve. No matter what. And it's a journey. And it took months. It took time for God to reward and comfort and show me the reason why I'm here. If it wasn't for Summit internship, I don't think I probably married my beautiful wife, Haley. Because during my internship, this is when we met. We talked, we fell in love. And it was a journey that God has rewarded. If it wasn't for Summit, I don't know, I'll probably do business somewhere right now, or I don't even know where I would be. There was other offers on the table that proposition was to take this position, work with youth, but I didn't have peace. And it didn't make no sense. I was called here to manage the special projects and to do construction, to get the swimming pool built and the apartments built and the pavilion built. Totally opposite of what I feel, so to speak, called to do. And by the way, even what I love to do, share the gospel, preach the gospel, I wasn't even asked to share. It's lately. Thank you, Pastor Tim. It's lately. But it wasn't the journey so sweet and so smooth the way sometimes it looks like. Only my wife knows how many nights I would come and scream, what the heck am I doing here? What am I signing up for? What is the light at the end of the tunnel? I can't even see it. Phone calls would ring and, but what are you doing there? You call for greater things. You're doing construction? Listen, if you want to do construction, you can go outside some and do construction and make a lot more money than that. And it was choices that I have to make. It was a battle that I had to fight. Do I want to follow the crowds? Or do I want to follow something that God is giving me peace about it and to follow him? So he can break me and mold me, work on my character. And listen, I'm not perfect. Sometimes I snap. Even the other day, I'm an opinionated guy. And God is working on that. I can speak my mind. I can say something forward. We can get frustrated. But in the end of the day, my heart is open and I'm willing for God to work in my life. And I think if I would have left internship when I found out that I'm going to stay here working in the maintenance, if I would have left, I don't think I would be where I am today. Because the more we resist God, the less work is getting done in our life. Remember this. The more we resist the call of God in our life, and the call of God might not be always speak that you think that God called you, but it's a price to be paid and a refining fire that is there, that we're going through things in our life. And through that, God not only gave me a wife, but he also gave me a child that we're expecting in a few days. And our family is multiplying. Listen, God took God provided for every need in my life. I have a house where we live. I have everything in the house. 99% it's ours. What we purchased, what we went to auctions, we went and found things, we painted, we remodeled. Everything what we need, we have. It doesn't have to be brand new and shiny, but we have everything. God took care of everything. I don't have a bill in my life here at Summit that I have to pay for the house or for the electric. Everything has been taken care of by the grace of God. Sometimes I sit with my wife and we talk and we thank God for that. And I don't want to take those things for granted. If I was somewhere else in this world doing my own thing, when was asked a simple question, will you stay here and be part of maintenance and work here in the grounds? And if I would have said no, I don't know where I would be. I'll probably be somewhere renting a house, paying $2,000 just for the renting and the bills and going to work and doing all these things and never be still satisfied. Because the reason of leaving would be chasing for your call. Yet, when God is asking you to stay here and follow something that He intended you to go through. Following the crowds or following Christ? And it's not easy, but it's worth it. Because God is a rewarder for those who diligently seek Him, who walk according to His will. You never will be satisfied jumping from church to church, seeking something that will feel good. Because when we're walking through with Christ, there's going to be disappointments, but God is always there. The flesh is not going to be satisfied always. But the spirit will be full. Why? Because God will be there. Amen? And the last story that I want to share. Richard told me to keep it short. So I'm trying to, Richard. We can open up in Luke chapter 19. And it's a story that it's somewhat similar. And I think this is one of the best stories that represents the cross and following Jesus or following the crowds. Luke chapter 19 verses 1 says, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of his crowd. For he was of a short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up on the sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your home.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." Say joyfully with me. Joyfully. This is a powerful, powerful story. Zacchaeus was, the Bible says that he was a chief tax collector. He had money. He knew how to fool people. He knew how to get around. He knew how to live well. He knew really well the system, how the poor people were getting poorer and the rich were getting richer. He knew that rich people can have connections and they can buy things that poor people can't. They can have access to people that poor people couldn't. Zacchaeus was of those people, one of those people, that anything that he wanted, he could have had it because he was wealthy. But one thing he couldn't get is get to Jesus. And the Bible says that he came and there was crowds. Again, Zacchaeus had a choice to be part of the crowd, to follow God and to follow Christ, listening from afar off and be part of the crowd that was following Jesus. Or he had a choice to meet Jesus personally. And the Bible says that he wanted to see Jesus personally. And the only way that he could have done that is to go and climb on a tree. And the reason for that was because he was short. In our family, most of our family, everybody's tall. I'm one of the shortest one, I guess. And when I was little, you know, you can be poked and make fun of, you know. And I remember just jumping on branches and kind of hanging down. And because the theory was if you hang, you will grow a little bit taller. And no matter how much you try to do that, I'm still who I am. Nothing pretty much changed. The Bible says we were born in sin. And who we are. The leper can't change his skin. We can't change who we are. This is who we are. Zacchaeus was short. He couldn't change nothing about that. No money could have bought it. No red carpets in front of him could have had it. And he knew that he was short. The Bible says that all of us fall short of the glory of God. And the only way we can meet with Jesus, it's coming to the cross. And Zacchaeus knew that. Maybe he was jumping to try to see Jesus. Maybe he was screaming, I don't know. But he was a passion in his heart. I don't want to be a follower of the crowd. I want to be a follower of Jesus. But for me to be a follower of Jesus, I must meet him and see him and talk to him. He had a choice. He couldn't sit quiet and just follow hundreds of people, maybe whoever was there. But he said, no, there is greater things than this. And he decided, he went, he ran, he went and climbed the sycamore tree. And the interesting part is, it's not even, the Bible doesn't say that Zacchaeus saw Jesus. But the Bible says that Jesus looked up his eyes, lifted up his eyes and saw him. And said, Zacchaeus, come down, because today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that I have to come into your house. Today is the day that I will have a meeting with you. Today is the day that I'll have an encounter with you personally. It's not going to be crowds. It's not going to be hundreds of people. But it's going to be a personal relationship with you. This tree represents the cross. This is where the meeting happens between me and you and Jesus. This is the meeting when we come and humble ourselves and we acknowledge that no money could have bought it. No connections could have had it. But it was a simple life that acknowledged, I am short and I need Jesus. In the end of the story, the Bible says that he received him. He received him joyfully. He had to give up a lot of things in his life. Wealth, he had to give back some. He had to go and make things right. But he decided, I'm no longer going to be a follower of the crowds, but I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And the evidence of a follower of the crowds is unchanged life, unchanged lifestyle, being in peace with sin, making sure you feel good, and going and hearing messages that only you want to hear, never being compelled or convicted. This is the evidence of following the crowds, being popular. Taking always what is good for me. It's always about me. But being a follower of Jesus Christ, it requires a sacrifice. It requires asking forgiveness. It requires giving back that which you have stolen maybe. It requires things to be right. And moreover, the evidence of a follower of Jesus Christ is faith in Jesus Christ. And that is followed by a transformed life that is evident around us. Simple. Simple as that. Do we want to be followers of people? The question is today. Or we truly want to be a followers of Christ? I want to be a follower of Christ. It hurts sometimes. I'm confused sometimes. I want to quit sometimes. But I have peace in my heart. One of the evidence that I'm walking where God has called me to walk. And I can't explain it. Or I want to follow people. The positions that are being offered. And run away and do things. And that will never satisfy me. Ministry doesn't satisfy. Christ only satisfies. If we run to him, the opportunities will come like today. And you will do what God has called you to do. Maybe in stages. But God never fails. He never gives up. And He never leaves us alone. Amen? Let's stand today. Maybe the sermon was not a fancy sermon that moves everybody, but it was something that I had in my heart to share. And I wanted to share. And if this message maybe spoke to you, maybe you're here and I don't know how old you are, maybe you're young or older, but you never even made a decision fully to trust Christ and follow Him. It was more about the crowds. You're intrigued by the crowds or what's going on there, but we're never crowned and satisfied in Christ. This is what will the altar call be. If this is you, just we'll pray together. There's nothing weird about this. We're just going to close our eyes and come and pray. And ask God to help us and have an encounter with Christ at this tree, at the cross, to know that Jesus Christ loves us personally. Not only when we're in the crowds, but personally. It's a personal love. Amen? So, Ben, if I can ask you, if you have a song, please. And during this song, we're just going to close our eyes and pray. And if this is you, you need prayer, that you need this foundation to be firmer in your life, that you want to follow Christ more than the crowds, and this is a cry in your heart, come and we'll pray together, and then Pastor Tim will close. Father, we come before you today, and we're so grateful for your word that has power to change lives. Lord, I don't even fully understand why I share this message today. It seems like it doesn't make no sense, but you knew and you know the hearts and the people that are going through things in their life and they're questioning their walk with you. They're questioning if you have a purpose for them. And you do, oh God. It might take a few years. It might take a few months. But you're always there. For Moses, it took 4 years. Lord, but you never gave up. And help us to fight. Help us not to lose sight. Help us not to be followers of crowds when we think that there is nothing in following you. Lord, it's a life from the enemy. Help us to be moved by the Spirit. Help us to be obedient to your word. Help us, oh God, to bow down to your will when things doesn't make sense. When in natural eyes it seems we could have went the other route. But you have called us to live a supernatural life and a life by faith, trusting you. God, you brought me through all these years and you showed your faithfulness that you still have a call and you never forgotten me. And I'm asking you to remind each one of us today that your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts at times. But when we bow down before you and we submit to your will, you will lead us and guide us. And it will be a beautiful road that we can look back. And no flesh can boast in that. But only one thing we can shout. By the grace of God, we are where we are. By the grace of God, I am who I am. Because you were the provider. You were the strength. You were the love. You were the guidance. You were the water for us and you were the breath for us. And all the honor and glory be to you, O God. I'm asking you, Jesus, to remind us one more time today of your love and kindness, of your purpose in our life. And for us never to give up in this battle, but always to keep on fighting. Because this battle is not over yet. Jesus, help us. Help us to understand that when Zacchaeus was on that tree, you were the one that looked at him and you saw him first and you spoke to him by name, Zacchaeus. Help us, O Lord, to know that you know our name. You know each one of us individually. There were crowds there, but you, for some reason, called Zacchaeus by name. It was important for you, O God. And help us today to know that we are important for you. Each individual in this place, we're not just existing. But you paid a price for us so we can live for your purposes. Lord, help us. to understand that and to receive your love and kindness into our life. And to be able to invite you into our lives, into our homes. So all of us serve you freely and with everything that we have. God, we're asking you to bless the remaining of this day. And let your name be glorified in our life. In Jesus' name we pray, oh God. Amen.
Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for meeting with us today, God. From the worship to the word, Lord, I think we all sense that you've done something deep here today in people's lives, Lord. And Father, I thank you for Ben's testimony, and I thank you for Pavel's testimony. I thank you for the anointing that was in the worship today, and I thank you for the anointing that was in the word today. God, I thank you that we've been in a place of miraculous change today, miraculous transformation today. God, I thank you for ordering Pavel's thoughts in the word. God, the evidence is here. It's what people needed to hear. It met a deep need in people's hearts. And I thank you, God, that you know how to establish our thoughts. And I thank you that he's a man who's sensitive to your spirit, God. And Lord, I pray that you would grow and increase his ministry in the word, God, because it's so evident that he's called. Because he speaks with your heart. He doesn't just speak the word. He speaks with your heart, God. And Father, I just pray that as we go now, God, I pray that we leave strengthened, encouraged in the presence of our God. Father, we thank you, Lord. Your goodness has been here today. God, your goodness has been here today. Let every heart leave grateful. Let every heart leave full. And we thank you, God. And Lord, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.